Hi, I'm Steph.
Hi, I'm T.
You're listening to Au Pair Tea, the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Au Pair Tea.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Au Pair Tea, the podcast, season 3, episode 14. Hi, T.
Hi, Steph.
Welcome. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited for this episode.
This is like going to be one of the popular ones. This is going to be good.
Good one. We are back with another interview this week, and we are joined by someone very special.
She's very special.
Very special. We are joined with Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Steph. Hi, T. How's it going?
We're good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here and to, oh, here's a pun, spill the tea together.
Hey. Oh, she's good. She's good,
That's
guys.
What we do best. So, Lauren is a former host kid. Yep, you heard that right.
An actual host kid.
An actual host kid. She's not a kid anymore, but she had au pairs back in the day, and we just wanted to get all the tea from what life is actually like as a host kid.
Yes. She's a very special host kid because now she actually works for Cultural Care, which is even more fantastic. So she's come full circle, everybody. She has. So... Lauren, hello. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you today. My name is Lauren, and that is true. I was a host kid back in the day, and I was a host kid in the 90s. So I had...
crazy.
We hosted au pairs for 10 years, and I had 14 au pairs in total. And it was such an amazing experience that now I work in sales for Cultural Care. And I currently manage our placement and sales team that's located in the Denver office. So I'm really excited to be sharing with you a little bit about my journey as a former host kid. And, you know, I'll share some of the funny memories I have, some of the ones that really made me who I am today and were super impactful in my life now. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a full circle, right? I can't even believe I'm here.
It's honestly like the most crazy thing, but we've loved learning about it, and we're really excited for you to share it with our listeners. I think they'll love hearing about it. So Lauren, you had au pairs from 1995 to 2005. Ooh. So how old were you when you first got au pairs and started introducing that childcare into your life?
I was about 5 years old, and I remember my first au pair, and I was so excited to meet them because she was actually from the UK. So
yay!
Woo!
Yes.
Started off strong.
Started off with the best.
Yes, we loved Nikki. That was her name, and she was my very first au pair, and it's funny because my whole youth, I remember my parents really feeling that they wanted to pursue their careers. And the reason that we joined the program was my parents didn't want to stay home with me and my identical twin sister by no fault of theirs.
They don't want you.
Yeah. And they really wanted us to have a great childcare experience, but also they wanted to pursue their careers. And as an adult, I really value that. But as a kid, you don't really know what that means. But I do remember my first au pair arriving and how excited we were to meet her. And, you know, it was just kind of kicked off such a wonderful experience together. And I think like at the time back in 1995, that's when we welcomed our first au pair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was the year I was born.
This is before I was born. I'm a 97 baby. I'm sorry.
Well, I was born in 1990, so I was about 5 years old. And I think like it was the perfect solution to my parents because they needed flexibility and they really wanted us to have a great experience too. But the au pair program was the only kind of flexibility that they could really find. And, you know, they couldn't find that at a traditional daycare or preschool or after school program.
Yeah. And a lot of host parents say that today is like having an au pair is so much more flexible than even a nanny, because we're kind of here all the time, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
even today it's very flexible. So I think it is a good childcare route to go. Yeah, down,
and a lot of nannies have like side gigs too. So yeah, we're very flexible. So interestingly, some people may not know when they're listening to this is that cultural care wasn't always called cultural care, and obviously you got your start as a host kid in the 90s. Before a certain level of technology was available. So what we're wondering is, how did it work back then with regards to selecting an au pair? Because you didn't have social media, you didn't have the online profiles we have now. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys actually, how did your parents do it?
Oh my goodness, matching was so different back then. So back before it was called cultural care, it was called EF au pair. So this was back in the EF au pair days, and we would get basically we would get a big packet in the mail from the cultural or from the EF au pair office, and it would have three different applications to look at. And each application, you know, we would take the time to look at the pictures and the personality and why that au pair wanted to join the program. And then we would tell the office which au pair we were most interested in. And then our office would send my family's host fit, like, application, which was a paper application, all the way overseas so that they could see our family and decide if they also wanted to match with us. And it's so funny because now with the way matching works and having the technology where you can really facilitate connections on our platform, I can't even imagine doing it so old-fashioned.
I love it, though.
And I remember being like, you know, 6 or 7 years old, and my parents laying out the applications on the floor for us. And my sister and I, who really couldn't read back then, we would just like look at the pictures and ask our parents what they wrote in the letter. And that's really what we wanted to know.
So funny. It blows my mind because when you think about it, I mean, 95 really is not that long ago. And it just shows you how far technology has come in that time. It's crazy.
It is. It's also like incredible. Like because we have such, you know, au pairs get this unique bond with people. And like you guys selected that without, you know, with like basically some paper in front of you. And it's just, I love that so much. Like,
that is trust. You guys.
That is a lot of trust.
It was. And it made the welcome process a little bit different because we didn't necessarily talk to the au pairs before matching with them. We might have one international phone call. Like that was the extent of the conversation. So the first time we got to meet the au pair, that was so special because it was really the very first time we had ever talk to them for more than like 5 or 10 minutes. And it was just like so wonderful and nerve-wracking because of that.
That's amazing. So we mentioned back in the intro that you've had 14 au pairs over the course of 10 years. So when you do the math on that with the commitment of 12 months that is now, doesn't really make sense. So did you have that rule back then, or did some leave early? How did the kind of whole process work with that?
Sure. So the intention of the program was still 12 months, but it was much small. The program was much smaller back then. And because social media and the internet and Skype wasn't available, it was more common for au pairs to return home a little bit early, especially because of homesickness. And that's very normal even today. It does happen. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, our family also did experience a couple rematches where it wasn't working out and my family decided to part ways with that au pair. And, you know, they would find a new family and we would find a new au pair. So, yes, if you do the math, it certainly doesn't quite add up. And you can take into account some of our au pairs did leave a little bit early. We went through a couple of rematches. And one of our bright spots as a family is when the extension program became available, my twin sister really wanted one of our au pairs to stay. And she convinced my parents and this au pair, Jeanette, to extend for 6 more months. Oh. So that was like a really, really fun thing that my sister took on. We were only in like seventh grade. Yeah.
I was actually going to bring up like was extension available back then? When did it kind of become available? What time period?
I don't know exactly when it became available, but I don't remember it being discussed until I was 13. So probably like 2003. That was the first time we discussed it. It's very possible that it was available sooner. It just wasn't the best option for the au pair that was with us or our family.
Yeah. So you briefly mentioned that your first au pair is British, which I love. apart from that, is there kind of like one au pair that sticks out in your mind, like one that you had like a really good strong bond with? Or I mean, I know you had 14 and you know you don't have to pick a favorite, but who's the one that comes to your mind when you think about your time as a host kid?
That's a great question. I really have two, but I'm going to talk about one of them in hopes that the other one doesn't listen to this. Tell us.
Oh my gosh, that'll be awkward.
She loves you all.
Yeah. So my au pair, Jeanette, was one of the au pairs I established the best relationship with. And I think what made our bond so special is that she was my au pair when I was 13 years old. Ooh. And I was very awkward. I mean, listen, pimples, braces, couldn't talk to boys. Like, I was so awkward. And for that reason, Jeanette really helped boost my confidence. But she also, I felt, understood me. And she was always there to let me cry on her shoulder after, like, you know, a gymnastics meet or a soccer game. She was so loving. And I still stay in touch with her today. She actually has two kids now and lives in Minnesota. So I'm really excited to go visit her because I told her that I'll take care of her two kids. And she can have a spa day since she had to deal with my sister and I for a year and a half.
This is so amazing. That. This is like the tables have turned now, honey. Yeah. Like now it's your turn.
Yes, it's my turn now. And it's so special because Jeanette, now that she lives in the U.S., her and I are very close on social media. So we reach out to each other fairly regularly, just, you know, sliding into each other's DMs to say hi. And I can't wait to visit her someday.
Oh, I love that so much.
I love that.
I know. It's like so, it's so warm and fuzzy, isn't it?
It's wholesome.
Honestly, it's the best. So obviously the au pair program is primarily about cultural exchange, sharing different cultures, things from other countries. Is there anything that your au pair shared from their culture, their country, that you loved learning about or incorporated into your lifestyle still to this day?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. One tradition specifically comes to mind, but I have to intro this with a shout out to my Mexican au pair who taught my family how to cook. And I have to say, I still dream about her enchiladas, and I wish she was here every night to cook me dinner because it was just made with love. So that was kind of that's one of my favorite memories I have about embracing the cultural exchange element is, you know, her teaching me and my sister how to cook and being there and just teaching us that if you make it with love, that's all that really matters. It was so lovely. And then the other tradition that we incorporated is actually it's a German tradition. It's called St. Nicholas Day. And this is a tradition where the kids leave. Okay, this is a really fun one. The kids leave their shoes outside of the door.
I've had this.
Yeah. And you fill them with oranges and candy, or I should say candy. And that's something that we picked up from one of our first German au pairs, but we continued it every year. So every year up, actually, okay, don't think I'm too weird for saying this. We continued it through until college.
I love that.
Yeah. And that was always really fun because it just made us remember that sweet moment together from our very first German au pair who shared that tradition with us.
Yeah.
Honestly though, I could go on and on about this. I think that like the cultural exchange part of this program is so dear to my heart now, and it makes me passionate and compassionate for the people who are participating on this program. And I understand how hard it is to live somewhere else, to be in a country where you might not speak the native language, and to, you know, really embrace that.
Yeah.
It just shows that your answer there shows how much of an impact an au pair host kid, like,
yeah,
just
yeah,
the small things that they share with their host kids can stay with them for years after.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and so I just true. Love that.
Yeah, and I still think about them. You know, I also, one of the other things that I have from one of my first Swedish au pairs is a little Swedish wooden horse, which is something you are supposed to have in like the welcome area of your home. And I love my little Swedish horse. It's traveled with me through every move that I've made over the last 10 years, which I can tell you has been many, many moves. So time I set it up, it just reminds me of the element of home and kind of the feeling that like this is part of who I am.
Oh, that's so special. And kind of keeping on the whole tradition kind of path, we recently did an episode where we asked people like, what do host families do to kind of welcome their au pairs? So did you guys have any like family traditions that you shared with your au pairs? Like, for example, how did you welcome each one the same way? Was it different? What did you kind of give to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the most memorable traditions that we shared with our au pair was every summer we had a really big like summer barbecue. And that was always around the time that our au pair would arrive. So I remember from a really early age, us having really fun backyard barbecues where my parents' friends would come over, their kids would come over. We did have a couple other families who in the area who had au pairs. So they would come over and we just have like a really American barbecue, like hot dogs, hamburgers, barbecue chicken.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was super American. But that was a really fun way for us to welcome them. And I think otherwise, like some of the traditions we shared with our au pairs throughout the years was around the holidays. We always wanted our au pair to feel really comfortable being with us for the holidays. So we always allowed them to bring like another au pair friend if they wanted. Or one year we had my Polish au pair's whole family came from Poland.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
So fun.
Yeah. So it was always like a really open house with lots of au pairs and, you know, loud people. And it was a lot of fun. And I particularly loved Christmas because around the world, everyone celebrates Christmas differently. So just being able to show our au pairs how we celebrated and then also, you know, to incorporate some of their traditions, I think was really special.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. So we're au pair tea. You said you were here to spill the tea. Now is the time
to spill.
So we are always open and honest on this podcast about the challenges that au pairs face. Mm-hmm. Can you think of a time where something didn't go quite right with your au pairs, or was there challenges that you face as a host kid?
Mm-hmm.
Time to spill the tea, Lauren.
I will spill the tea. I will be totally honest about the challenges because there are some, right? Like, we all know that this program is not rainbows and butterflies. This is a challenging program and it's really special when it works, but there are some hard times. So one, a couple memories come to mind. The first one that I'll share is around miscommunication, which we all know happens when
that's our yeah. tagline. We always say communication is yes, key.
Exactly. So back in the day, we didn't have car GPS and there was no like online maps that we could use to get around. So from a really early age, my sister and I had to learn how to get from our town to the towns around us for after school activities. And I remember one time my au pair, Monica, was taking us to basketball practice and we got so lost. We couldn't figure out where we were. It was very dark. And by the way, I lived in Massachusetts. So the roads were often covered in snow. And I remember like crying in the back seat because I couldn't explain to Monica where we needed to go. And at this point, I didn't really know where I needed to go either. All I knew is that I was missing basketball practice and I was annoyed. So eventually we had to pull over into a gas station and asked the gas station attendant if we could call my mom at work and ask her to come pick us up because we didn't know where we were. And of course, it was like super frustrating. Monica and I were probably both crying at this time. And afterwards, we went to this, it's a diner called Friendly's, and basically they're known for ice cream sundaes and french fries. It's amazing. And I remember my mom and me and Monica went to Friendly's and had a nice long chat and had an ice cream sundae, and it was okay.
Silver linings.
Yes, it was a really good ending, but I was frustrated as a host kid not being able to help because I didn't know where I was. And that's like a big burden for a child to need to know. And it was also a huge burden for our new au pair who didn't know the way around suburban Massachusetts, which is a very dark and wooded place. so that was a tough moment. And then, you know, I think another challenge that we faced was we had an au pair who was a vegetarian. Okay, hear me out. My family, we're carnivores, but we respect vegetarians. I have vegetarian extended family, so we did not see this as a problem. We knew what to expect. However, our poor au pair, Andrea, comes to us and she's like, okay, I'm a vegetarian. It's week one. We're like, okay, great. We are going to have a traditional clam bake, which for those on the call who don't know, is a seafood feast that has lobster, clams, oysters. And as the barbaric family we are, we had a lobster race where we put the lobsters on the floor and it's pretty bad. And we let them race each other to the pot before we put them in the pot of boiling water.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm sure both of you have like open mouths right now. This is the craziest thing. But this, remember, this was the 90s. So ethics weren't involved here. And I remember sitting, we all sat down for the feast and our au pair is there. She's visibly turning pale and we're like, oh no, like, is she okay? And as we start to, you know, crack open the lobsters, she just gets up and runs to the bathroom. And luckily my mom like saw this and went with her, and you know, she was crying. She was so upset. She was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I didn't know people ate seafood this way. And you know what? She did go home the next week and we helped her buy her flight and sent her on the way. It just wasn't the right fit, and that's okay. Sometimes it does. I still feel really badly about this, clearly.
Why did you go home? Because they raced lobsters. Like,
yes, that's. I imagine that's what she's saying in her head.
Oh my gosh!
In front of me,
that is a crazy. I love that. I should laugh, but I love that story so much.
Yeah, it's a story of like cultural exchange just going a little bit wrong and making someone uncomfortable. And it wasn't the intention, of course, but it does happen. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, my twin and I were not the most well-behaved kiddos. We definitely liked to misbehave and test our boundaries from a young age. So there were other moments where, you know, I would run outside in a thunderstorm because I wanted to see what would happen.
Or, oh my gosh.
Yeah, my sister jumped off the swing set one day and our au pair had to take her to the ER because she broke her arm.
That is every au pair's worst nightmare.
I felt so bad. I felt so bad for our au pair because my sister is very impulsive and, you know, by no fault of hers, she just wanted to see if she could jump off the swing. And as soon as she landed, our au pair like knew something was wrong. And she did the right thing, though. She followed first aid protocol. She called 911. They went in the ambulance. It actually, our au pair handled it beautifully, but it was a difficult moment.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so, oh my gosh.
Is that some good tea?
That was excellent. Amazing. Thank you. So, I mean, kind of keeping a little bit on the same track about having an au pair. So, obviously, like you said, it's not, you know, all perfect. It's not sunshine and butterfly and rainbows and all that. So is there anything negative about having an au pair? And what I guess we're kind of asking is, you know, was it sometimes, especially because you had it from like 5 to 15, which are incredible ages to kind of have au pairs. Was it ever like hard sharing your family space with someone else?
Yes, my au pair and me and my sister all shared a bathroom. But then, wait, get this. My parents each had their own bathroom.
What?
I was like, how does this make sense? Like, our kids should have their own bathroom. But anyways, that was hard, you know, sharing space with someone that you don't know too well yet. Sharing that shower space, like sharing the walls between our bedrooms, like that definitely is something to get used to. But overall, I would say the positive outweigh that negative. And getting used to sharing your space from an early age, I would argue, is a really good habit, because so often in our lives, we have to share spaces with other people. So if you can learn it from a young age, you're probably a little bit better off, but that can feel uncomfy. I think too, you know, I think this is, I'll be super open and honest with you. I sometimes missed my parents, and there were times where I wanted my mom and not my au pair. And I think that's a very normal part of being a host child. And I think it's a normal feeling as an au pair to sometimes feel that resentment a little bit.
And that's really
good. But I do think it happens. And I remember it from my own childhood. You know, wanting my mom to drop me off at a school dance and not my au pair. Now, could my mom do my hair the way that my au pair could? No, absolutely not. So it always worked out, but there were challenges where I sometimes missed that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. I see that in host kids now. It must be tough for them, because we say this before, but like sometimes the au pair, I mean most of the time, the au pair spends more time with the children than their parents do. Totally. You know, the children do miss their parents a lot of the time.
Yeah. And like, advice for au pairs, don't feel bad about that. That's normal. And I think it happens. I think it happens more often than not. But at the same time, there were so many occasions where my au pairs would go home and I would be upset because they weren't with our family anymore. So I would be like, I miss my au pair. I miss Jeanette. I miss Birgit. And I would, I remember crying and being like, I wish they could come back. And my mom being like, well, you should have appreciated them more when they were here.
Ooh, so he was right. Savage.
So something that just popped into my head that I want to ask that isn't written down, but I just thought of it. Did people, like your friends and like, I don't know, teachers and things, think it was kind of weird that you had an au pair? Because I feel like it wasn't a very popular thing back then. I mean, it's still not extremely popular. It's a lot more popular than it used to be. But even people now, like teachers and things, are like, oh, au pair, like that's so strange. Yeah. How did people react when you told them, you know, my au pair's picking me up or dropping me off or something?
You have such good intuition, because that is spot on. There were definitely times where people didn't know about the program, and people always assumed that having an au pair was coming from a place of like real privilege. But instead, my parents did it because they needed to work. So, you know, it's not that they were off like traveling the world without us. They were working some pretty difficult jobs in order to keep our family thriving. So having an au pair was complicated because people didn't know what that meant. And sometimes with my teachers, what it meant is that I learned how to advocate for myself, because I needed their support and help, knowing that my au pair wasn't necessarily going to be able to translate everything that my teacher was saying. And that was a really important lesson I learned as a host child, was to speak up for myself and to advocate when I wasn't understanding something, and to do that for the benefit not only for myself but also for my au pair. I think there was, you know, with my friends, my very close friends, they loved my au pairs. I mean, we used to play pranks on them and we had so much fun with my au pairs. So they were all on board. But for the people that knew our family less, I think there might have been a little bit of judgment coming from them mm-hmm. about us participating in the program and why we might do so. And at the time, it was challenging to stick up for the program and stick up for myself and my family. But in hindsight, I feel like I'm such a better person because of it. And I'm really proud that I've been part of this program for years. So at the time, challenging. In hindsight, I feel great about it.
Happy ending. That's
good. So for the au pairs listening, we have a lot of them, obviously. Mm-hmm. As a former host kid, in your opinion, what makes a truly great au pair?
This is also a question, guys, if you're a future au pair, that you have to answer on your profile. So listen up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I read the profiles and see what people say all the time. And yet this was the hardest question for me to answer today. And I think I'll try to keep this short. What makes a truly great au pair is someone who's open-minded, honest, willing to accept the challenges that they're faced with. And, you know, that's a real part of this program is resilience, facing the challenges head on and knowing that you're going to be a better person because of it. I think passion for being around people. Of course, you got to love kids, but it's really so much more than that. It's about being able to explore and understand relationships with kids, with adults, with being in a different country. So, okay, let me see if I can summarize that. What makes a truly great au pair is someone who is open-minded, loving, someone who values relationships in their life and wants to explore the world. That's what makes a great au pair. How did I do? What do you think?
Ooh, solid answer.
Nail
Lauren.
On the head with that one.
You're going to see that now. You're going to see that like popping up on people's profiles okay. now. This
I'm
is a
like,
great au pair.
Feed on the profile and message the au pair and say, hey, I know where you got that tip.
Man, I'm like, thanks for quoting me. So as au pairs, we are given a lot of advice and tips. And we've talked a lot about how to build strong bonds with their host families. But on the flip side, Lauren, what can a host kid do on their part to help build and maintain a bond with their au pair? Because I feel like it's kind of a two-way street sometimes. Like mm-hmm. host kids have got to put some work in too, I think.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think host kids do have to put the work in. And what I would recommend is asking your au pair about their hobbies. What do they like to do? Maybe if your au pair likes to play soccer, you play soccer outside with them so that you can understand more about their world. Similarly, cooking together. I think that's a great way to learn about your au pair, where they come from, their culture, and spend that quality time. Other ways, especially for little kids, would be, you know, asking a kid to bring their favorite book from their, you know, that they're reading right now, and then have the au pair also bring their favorite book from that time period in their life. So like, you know, mm-hmm. if you're working with a six-year-old, you're going to bring the kid's favorite book and the au pair's favorite book. And then you're going to do an exercise and read both of them together and talk about the books, right? And do like a little bit of a reporting out. So I think that could be a really fun way so that the au pair feels that they're also the kids are invested in learning about them, because that's tough in this program and I want to see more of it. So I want there to be more an investment from the host kids to share the au pair's passion and, you know, really invest in why they're here and learn about their family, right? Like maybe the other, I have so many ideas, but what about drawing a family portrait? And you can have the host kids draw a family portrait of their family, and then you can have the au pair draw a family portrait of their family, and you can share it back to each other so that you can learn about each other on a little bit of a deeper level. I think that's a good exercise, even for kids that are in school age, just to learn more about the au pair's family and life back home.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I feel like if I did that though, like my picture, I'm still at the stick man stage of
drawing. I was just thinking that.
Mine would be very basic, but the love would be there, guys.
That's okay. In my head, I was drawing stick figures while I said that.
Yeah. So. Oh, thank goodness. Okay, thank goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So earlier on in the episode, you mentioned that one of your previous au pairs, I think it was Jeanette, lives in Minnesota now, and you're going to visit her at some point. Mm-hmm. But have you kept in contact with any of your other au pairs? Have you visited them, or if they come back to the USA? Obviously, the communication aspect wasn't really there back in the 90s to early 2000s to be able to like contact from across the pond. But, you know, have you mm-hmm. regained contact with any of your au pairs? Do you speak to any of them?
I have. I've regained contact with some of my au pairs throughout the years. So I think one of the happiest occasions is when one of my old au pairs found me on Facebook. And it was my au pair, Monica, who she was with my family when I was very little. I was probably 7. So I was really, really young. And I mean, I didn't have social media until like 2006 or 2007. So I didn't have any au pairs who immediately I could find on social media. But Monica found me on Facebook after like 20 years of searching for me and my sister. Wow. And she reached out to me and wrote me, oh my gosh, the cutest note. She said she was so happy she found me. She'd been looking for me for years. And, you know, she wanted to know how I was. And we talked a little bit about what she was doing. And we went back and forth on Facebook Messenger for a while. And it was just such a special moment after like 20 years apart to have this rekindling. It was beautiful. And I would say probably about 5 of my au pairs, the ones that I was a little bit older for, I do still stay in touch with fairly regularly. So we follow each other on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, we do comment here and there. So it's always really fun.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that's great. When I was super little, the way we stayed in touch, okay, you're going to think this is crazy. The way we stayed in touch were Christmas cards and letters and like care packages. That was the only way we could. So thank goodness for technology, right? We're in such
yeah.
This is like,
I don't know how to survive.
This is like a Hallmark movie. Like, you come back together after 20 years. I've been waiting all these years to find you. It's yeah. so wholesome.
It really felt like that. And
you couldn't write this. You couldn't.
Yeah. It was so special. Like, I was working at Cultural Care at the time, and I told all of my colleagues about this. And of course, everyone was equally as excited as I was.
Oh my gosh. I love that vibe. It's amazing. Yeah. So for the people that followed my Cultural Care takeover a couple of months ago now, may have noticed that Lauren and I came together and did a nice little live together on gift ideas for Christmas and for other occasions. And this, I'm so excited for you to share this because I love this. Mm-hmm. So did you keep any gifts from previous au pairs? Can you mm-hmm. share specifically the one I'm thinking about?
Yes.
It's Monica.
Yes.
Can you tell us about this?
Okay, this is so 1995 in the cutest way. What I shared on when we did that little takeover was this really, really cute photo. I want to call it a photo book, but it's not a photo album. It's just like a frame. Yeah, a picture frame that had like 5 or 6 little pictures. And my au pair filled them with pictures of her and I. So it was all pictures of Monica and I, or Monica and me and my sister. And she even, oh my gosh, she even labeled the ones where my sister and I look alike. She even labeled them on the back so that we knew who was who.
Oh,
it was really cute. And she gave that to me before she left, and she wrote the sweetest note on the back. And okay, this is where get your tissues ready.
When
okay, good. When I learned how to write, which was probably the next year, the first thing that I ever wrote on something random was I wrote, "I miss you, Monica." I keep it. I have it today. It's actually at my desk at work because I love seeing it. It's a great reminder of the program. And it's a great reminder of like the special time that you share together.
That's so special.
That's the one you were thinking of, right?
Yeah, I love it okay. so much.
That's so cute.
All the goodness.
So as au pairs ourselves, we always think about, you know, us having to say goodbye to our host family and moving back on to our home countries. But, you know, you also feel that, like, sadness as a host kid saying goodbye to your au pair. I mean, you're with them, like we said, sometimes more than they're with their parents, so like a whole year, sometimes more. And you had to do that 14 times.
I did, yeah.
How did you do that 14 times?
It's hard. It's really, really hard. And I think that what I want au pairs to know is that even if the kids don't seem sad, they are. And they're going to feel it for months to come. They're going to feel your loss. But at the same time, part of this program is learning how to move on, and au pairs need to return to their lives. That's why they did this program, right? To like enhance their lives. Mm-hmm. So it's also an exciting moment because there's so much on the other side for the kids, for the au pair. And while saying goodbye is never easy, there are so many ways to stay in touch now. And you can always reach back out to your kids, to your family, tell them you're thinking of them, even if it's a quick WhatsApp message here and there that just says, hi, I'm thinking of the kids, send some pics. They are going to hold a really, really special, sorry, let me rephrase this. You are going to take a really, really special place in their heart. And even though I had so many au pairs, it was hard saying bye to every single one of them. And it's not something I take for granted. I truly know how hard it is to say goodbye. So just know that there's more life out there, and that's why you do this program. But it's okay if you and the host kids and the family are all really sad at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
And was there like a transition period, obviously, before, like, between each au pair? Did they overlap? Did you have like a bit of a period of time where you didn't have an au pair before the new one arrived? How did that time work?
That's such a good question. Throughout the years, we most often welcomed our new au pair in August, right before school started. And that's usually when our au pairs also left. Now, there were a couple of au pairs who left early because my sister and I went away for a lot of the summer. We went away for like a couple weeks. So sometimes an au pair like left early and there was no overlap. But when there was overlap, which probably happened 4 or 5 times, my sister and I would share a bedroom. Courtney would have a little sleepover with me, and the departing au pair would sleep in her room so that the new au pair could get settled in the au pair's bedroom. And I think that created like a really nice transition. Transitions in my family, as probably everyone listening to this call, they're never fun. But my mom always tried to do a really good job telling me when it was coming. So from an early age, she said, okay, in 2 months, and we would look at a calendar, in 2 months, Monica's going to leave. And that means that she's going to go back to Sweden. That means you're going to have a new au pair, which is really exciting. And that's when she would say, do you want to look through the applications with me and help me see who should be next? And that was always like really fun. But it took us a while to get used to the transition. And I actually liked having overlap as a kid because I felt a little bit more secure. I know that's like every family does it differently, but I think my sister and I benefited from having a little bit of overlap.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of good to see that, you know, the departing au pair and the arriving au pair, like that you know, they are fine with each other. There's not like this horrible cattiness between
them. Yes.
That must have been kind of comforting, right?
That was so comforting. You're right. And I think that's why I liked overlap, is because I wanted to make sure that my au pairs were cool with each other. I wanted to make sure that they like liked each other, because I knew that meant I was going to get along with them too. And it always worked out. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, that perfectly leads us on to our next question. So we have talked about this before, and I think we will definitely have some of this feeling when we eventually leave. But when we speak to au pairs, one of the main things that always comes up, regardless of when we're talking to them, is they have a fear and this feeling of being replaced once they leave. So what would you say to an au pair who feels like this? Because obviously you had 14 au pairs, and it's okay to be honest, but did any of your au pairs did any of them blur together, or do you remember each one very clearly?
What I most remember about each one is which stage of my own development I was at. So when I was learning how to read, I remember that au pair. When I was learning to do gymnastics, I remember that au pair. When I was like going into middle school. I remember that au pair. And for that reason, they even though they blur together, each one still is a distinct memory and a distinct mm-hmm. person in my mind. And just know that your kids, even though the memories may start to blur over time, they're literally never going to forget you because you spent so much time with them when you were here, and you cannot replace that. Like, time spent together, quality time, is why they're going to remember you. And they're going to remember you sitting there and encouraging you through homework. They're going to remember you being at the soccer games. They're going to remember you taking you to the mall. Like, all of those milestones, the kids have an association with that au pair. So my advice is, don't be too hard on yourself. It's normal to feel that way, but just know and trust that the kids, even if they can't express it at that time, they will remember how you contributed to their life in little ways and the little lessons that you taught them throughout.
Oh, that's so wonderful. That was great. I feel so emotional right now.
That was great.
Oh, oh my gosh. I feel emotional too, but also happy.
So the ages in which you had au pairs, I feel like you had them throughout your whole early teens. So like, that's a very distinct time in your life where you're growing and you're changing, you're kind of becoming mm-hmm. into kind of adulthood as such. At 15, you're kind of starting there. So how has having au pairs kind of impacted you and helped you grow as a person? How has that mm-hmm. kind of like taken a place in your life as you've grown up?
It's been really fun to reflect on this question because, you know, I think in a really explainable way, it helped me realize I needed to study, and I really wanted to study anthropology, which is the study of culture. So that's what I chose to learn when I was in college, because I felt passionate about connecting to the world around me, and it never felt forced. I felt very comfortable in the moments of cultural exchange and uncomfortable situations with other people. I think it also really helps me appreciate humor. You gotta laugh at some of the things that happen. Mm-hmm. And if you can't laugh about it, then this probably isn't the right program for you, because funny things do happen.
True.
I think using that as a tool was always a really good way for me to appreciate the experience that the au pair was having. I think it also taught me patience and understanding of what it feels like to be somewhere that you're either the minority by the language you speak or the way, you know, the culture you come from. And that is something we should be really sensitive about, and we should embrace but also appreciate. So I guess that like compassion and understanding for people's experiences, I try to still, you know, appreciate to this day. Yeah. Oh, it's been amazing.
Oh, I mean, we can, even just from listening to you, and you are so fascinating. Like, I love your story. So obviously, it's had a huge impact on you. I mean, you literally work for cultural care. Like, come on. This is hallmark stuff. This is what we live for. So, again, we recently did an episode that a host parent had asked us to do. And this is something that I kind of wished. I have never really thought about this question before. So I think, obviously, in the end, it is the host parent's decision who they hire to be an au pair. And some give their kids kind of more say than others, and you've kind of talked how your parents would let you look through the profiles and things. So what would you say to host parents who are concerned about how to bring up the idea of an au pair with their children? Like, what would you say? Like, hey, we're gonna have a stranger come live in our house for a year. Woohoo.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I know, right? It is terrifying, and I think it's terrifying for everyone because it's a change of a lifestyle. So it's really a big change. My advice to host parents would be, bring it up early. You know, start talking about it well before your au pair arrives. And if you are going to incorporate your children's, if you are going to have your kids meet the au pair during the interview process, make sure they're prepared and make sure that they understand why you're doing that. Mm-hmm. I also want parents to know that at the end of the day, they need to trust their gut. Like, they know their families, and they need to listen to their own intuition about who to match with and how to raise this to their kiddos. Every family is a little bit different. So think about your children's personality. How do they deal with transitions? Do they need more time? Are they really adaptable? And I think that would be a good way to start thinking about how to introduce this lifestyle change. If the kids are older, I might incorporate their opinions more into the matching process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if they like watch a Disney movie together and then talk about it, like those are all the things that you can do that doesn't feel as much like an interview, but it's still a good way to see how your kids are going to interact with this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Does that help? This is a complicated.
You're really good at advice.
You're very good. I also think I was just, when you were talking, I had all these like cogs in my head thinking, and when you said something about older kids, maybe it could be fun. Like if you had older kids, you know how in the profile you have to write a little thing about each kid, like their hobbies and interests. Like you could get the kids to help make the profile.
I love that idea so much. Or even like if you have a kid who's working on writing, you know, have them write a short paragraph in the letter.
Yes.
Two sentences. And then of course, make sure it's clear that the kid wrote that and not the parents. but that might be a really fun way to, you know, ask them to be part of the process, but also not put too much pressure on them.
Yeah. I love that. Yes.
So we have reached the last question.
Ooh.
And at the end of all of our interviews, we ask our guests to give a piece of advice. Now, what we're going to ask you to give is advice to maybe host kids that may be listening or host parents that want to transfer this advice onto the kids. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give a host kid about having an au pair?
I would give host kids the advice that I would give is know that your parents are doing this program because they care about you and they want you to have a great childhood. That's why they are doing this program. They are not doing this program because they don't want to be around you and part of your life. So that's kind of part one. Part two is I want host kids to be more aware of their au pair and their experience. So ask questions, you know, even if you as a host parent come up with like a question of the week and say, okay, kids, like this week, you're going to ask your au pair this question. Make sure that you're investing in learning about your au pair because that will strengthen the bond. And when the time is up, when the program is over, those are the ways you're going to be able to stay in touch with that au pair and remember them. So ask questions, have fun, I would say, right? Like this is
really fun.
Mm-hmm. And just overall, know that your parents are doing this because they want you to have a great experience with an au pair.
Oh, such wonderful advice.
Great advice.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been so much fun. I mean, you just let me talk about myself for an hour. How can I not enjoy?
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, like we have loved hearing about this story and about your time with au pairs. It's as au pairs ourselves, it's kind of inspiring to know that
it is.
Host kids can feel that way about you and how much of an impact you can actually make on your host kids' lives and your family's lives in general.
Aww, yeah, it's true. It's something I really believe in, and I'm so excited that I still get to be part of this because it has impacted my life in such a significant way.
Oh, it's amazing. So beautiful. I can't wait for everyone to hear this story. And if you are listening to this story, Lauren, you may not know, at the end of every podcast we choose an emoji, and if people listen all the way to the end, they post on our Instagram, they tell us what it is. And not, I would let you choose. However, I think in honor of the lobster story, I'd like to please send us this week, guys, a lobster emoji either in our DMs or a comment.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
It's my favorite thing right now. This story is
normally the guest chooses the emoji, but it has to be a lobster.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were saying, like, was it difficult saying goodbye to a pair? I was thinking, was it difficult to say goodbye to the vegetarian? I don't know.
Oh, I loved her. It was difficult. But I was also, you know, I feel like we traumatized her enough. So I was happy she was going to move on.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for joining us. We have, as we said a million times, we've loved hearing about your time as an au pair, and I'm sure our listeners,
as a host kid,
will love it too. As a host kid, sorry. You know what I mean.
We know what you mean.
We know what you mean.
We're sure the au pairs, host kids, host families listening to this podcast will also enjoy hearing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for having me.
Maybe it will inspire some people to become host families or au pairs. We don't know. Maybe it will.
That's what we're here for.
So, guys, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Please follow our podcast, follow our Instagram if you're not already, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.
Bye. Thank you, Lauren. Bye.
Bye.
And that's the tea.
Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram at @au pair tea for more.
Thanks for listening.